what we have done and what the law is now asking us to do is take the referral process back from the VIs. The VIs used to hold all the French fries, and they told us when we had to get out and do an O&M eval and when we didn't. What we're doing now and what the law is asking us to do is take that referral process back, take back those French fries, so that we can decide who gets an O&M eval and who does not. This has been very much a process for us, and we know that it's not something that can be done overnight. We started talking about this, goodness, I'd say back in 08. We believed in doing evaluations for everyone. Amy had come from a district where she had done that and had seen the results of there were certain students that would have never been referred for O&M. That by doing an O&M evaluation on everyone, she was able to find, and they benefited from O&M. So we committed to that, and in 2009-2010, we decided to try doing the O&M section of the functional vision evaluation. You know, your VIs have to address that, and we felt that we were better qualified to make that recommendation. So we tried that at first. What we found was when you do the annual count, it doesn't count. We still felt that it was the best thing to do for kids to get out there and see all those students, but that doesn't up your percentages on how many are actually getting a full orientation and mobility evaluation. So in 2010 and 2011, we developed a new O&M referral process where we were actually doing O&M evaluations, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. In 2013 and 14, we knew that the new law had passed, and that's this year, so we have changed and tweaked our referral process, and now we have what we're calling the latest and greatest. It may change again because we know that the commissioner's rules from TEA will be coming out in January, and that may change. Right now we're in the trying to interpret the law portion of time, so we'll see. And then, of course, beginning next year, you better have something going because that law has to be implemented. We tried doing functionals, doing the O&M section of the functional, and then we decided we wanted to actually do orientation and mobility evaluations on everyone. So this is the referral process, the first one we tried, and we've since moved on for this. So we asked for our diagnosticians and our VIs to have us do an orientation and mobility evaluation at all VI intake meetings. And that has stayed consistent. The law is asking us to do that. So, again, when a student is trying to become qualified as a student with a visual impairment, the testing that we will ask for is a functional vision evaluation, a learning media assessment, and an orientation and mobility evaluation to determine VI eligibility. And we have had situations where a VI may not have qualified that kid, but we felt they needed O&M, and so we ended up qualifying them for VI based on their need for orientation and mobility. Our original process where we tried to evaluate everyone asked the VIs to request another O&M evaluation anytime a new functional vision evaluation or learning media assessment was being done. We knew that it wasn't enough to do an orientation and mobility evaluation on a student who may be 4 years old, and you've done that one O&M eval that the law requires at their intake meeting to qualify them for VI, but to never see them again, they may end up needing O&M again later on. So we wanted to find a way to touch back with those kids, to go back and look at them again. So we started out saying, if you do another functional vision evaluation, request another O&M eval. We have changed that because they don't always do more functional vision evaluations. You may have a student who their eyes have been removed, and the VI chooses not to do another functional. So we found some holes and some weaknesses in that procedure. This is the last part of our procedure that works in our district in Cyferin. You'll have to look at what works in your district. This is paperwork. We have certain paperwork that we do. We ask the diagnostician, who is our kind of point person on our campuses. You may have a different person at your campus. We're asking them to have the parent fill out and sign the O&M information form. That, for us, is essentially a parent permission form that gives them informed consent that we may be doing different things, like looking at their student in the dark and how they travel, or going off campus. And this is just paperwork where we're asking them to send us what we need to do our job, the I-report, a copy of the IEP meeting, you may call it an ARD, so that is all a part of our process. We said that we have even revised this further, and here is our latest and greatest, what we're using now and giving out, and again, it may change. But this is what it looks like, and we're handing this out to everyone that we can, so that they know in our huge district what we're asking them to do. And here is the procedure broken down. So we're asking them, you'll notice that this is really the same as our old procedure. What we've done is gone in and used language that aligns with the law. So our new procedure says request an O&M evaluation as part of the full individual initial evaluation to determine a student's eligibility for special education on the basis of visual impairment. Again, it's just saying at if you're trying to get a student initially qualified for VI, they must have an O&M eval. But we put the law language in there. Okay, so this is what we changed. That part of the law that talks about an O&M must be involved in the scope of any reevaluation, we looked at that again, and we said, okay, the law is even stronger than what we were trying to do in our district. So this is what we've written as the second part of our referral process, and you'll need to develop your own what works for you. And again, it has the legal terms. We took the law and applied it into our procedure. When considering the scope of any reevaluation for a student with a visual impairment, please contact the Certified Orientation and Mobility Specialist on your campus or Donna Lynn Glover as part of the multidisciplinary team that determines if an additional O&M evaluation is needed. What we're finding is if there's already an O&M on that campus, if Casey's already seeing a student on that campus, then the diagnostician can just come to him and say, you know, Johnny Scout had an orientation and mobility evaluation 6 years ago. They didn't qualify, but you know what? They're coming up for that reevaluation, which happens every 3 years. And they'll say, would you take a look at that kiddo? And Casey will do that if he's on that campus. We had a lot of students with visual impairments on campuses where we did not have an O&M regularly going because there was no student with O&M at that campus. So if that was the situation, we want to let that campus know what they can do. And so we just said, call me, Donna, and I would assign someone. We would get together and say, who can come out and do that? And we would assign someone to that campus. We're finding that we're being assigned to campuses now that we never were before because there are students with visual impairments at that campus. And then this is just a repeat, the third portion of our process. Is just a repeat of what we had before, and it's paperwork. If an O&M evaluation is requested, have the student's parent fill out and sign the O&M information form, give the pink copy, you know, all that kind of stuff to the parent, put the white copy in the ARD paperwork, send the yellow copy to Donna along with the I-report. That's just all paperwork things that we decided that we needed.